All right, welcome back, PM Jam, Greedy Eli. Time to talk a little NFL with our buddy Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News at Vinny Iyer on Twitter. Vinny, how are you, my friend?
Good. How's it going, Javier?
It is good. It is good. You know, obviously the Super Bowl just took place, and there's a big offseason coming up, and I'm sure we'll be talking about a lot about that as well. But first, just your takeaways from the Super Bowl. Obviously, there's a lot of stories that come out of this thing, but just the game itself, what were your biggest takeaways from the game?
Well, I think it was another Super Bowl that was decided by defense in the end. I mean, one team could get to the quarterback and disrupt things more consistently than the other. And the Bengals, I think, played as well as they could defensively with some of the holes they had, and they got a break there with Odell Beckham Jr. going out. But overall, I thought it was a very good physical Super Bowl. You had a couple of big plays for the Bengals, but really no sustainability there with drives. A lot of things were shut down by the pass rush. And a lot of just not very comfortable down and distance situations there for Joe Burrow. And he made the most of it. They got great receivers. He bought some time, made some plays, but in the end, you got to have time to throw the football. And there's a reason why the most sacked quarterback doesn't get to the Super Bowl at all before Joe Burrow. And to do that, to be sacked 70 times in 20 games this season, and to be on the brink of winning the Super Bowl, that says something about the type of player Burrow is and how dangerous that passing game is. So congratulations to the Rams. I think they built this team to do that. Aaron Donald deserved getting at least a ring for being arguably the most dominant defensive player of our time here, that he had to cap it off. And it's kind of like Lawrence Taylor getting his or Ray Lewis. It's kind of has that feel when Aaron Donald finally gets his Super Bowl. And that was good to see because he's been the best player in this league, regardless of position, for a long time.
You know, you mentioned the Bengals, of course, and, you know, it's pretty amazing they got to the Super Bowl considering, you know, where people thought they'd be at the beginning of the season. And as you mentioned, with Burrow being sacked so many times as he was, they rewarded Zach Taylor with a contract extension through 2026. I don't think that comes as a surprise. He was due for an extension and definitely deserved, I would say. But, you know, there's still a lot of skeptics of Taylor, I believe. I mean, he didn't show a lot until this season. Of course, you know, it takes having a great quarterback to, you know, go far in this league, as we all know. But just, you know, what do you make of Taylor's performance in the Super Bowl? You know, he talked about some mistakes that he thought he made that he wishes he could have done over. And, you know, what do you make of just the whole realm of Taylor as he signs this extension?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I think you're going to learn a lot. I think you would say that Sean McVay probably learned a lot from his Super Bowl experience on the other side. So McVay was the experienced one this time. Last time he was facing Bill Belichick. So it is just hard when you're just try to navigate coaching because there's so many little things, but he made a lot of great decisions to get them there in the Raiders game and the Titans game. These are things he did. He outcoached those guys along the way. These were some accomplished guys all the way through Andy Reid. So I think you have to say that people are right. The Bengals went far above anyone's expectations. I think people thought eventually they could compete for something big with Joe Burrow, but they're there. And I don't think they're necessarily going to go away yet. I mean, they have a couple more years with Burrow and the lower contract. They have plenty of room under the salary cap, so they can go invest. If Cam Robinson might be available from the Jaguars, you go get him. And left tackle makes a lot of sense. And maybe move around Jonah Williams, strengthen another part of your line. You can really invest up front, or you can also look at Orlando Brown Jr. and try to get plucking from the Chiefs. So there are some options there to upgrade their offensive line and pass protection. So I think that's what the Bengals are going to do. This is the time where you do it. You get aggressive, load up. They're going to have a lot of appeal just being a Super Bowl team, being a chance to play Joe Burrow. We even saw it with Rob Gronkowski. I don't know if he's being serious, but he said he'd love to play with a young buck with some swag like Joe Burrow. So they're going to be an attractive team because of Burrow. The Bengals haven't always been the most attractive free agent destination, but they're spending money. They got some key guys, Trey Henderson, Chidobe Awuzie, Mike Hilton. These guys all wanted to come and play for them. So there's something there that they have, and their schemes and things around Burrow, they're not that far. We saw it. I mean, if they can protect him a little bit better, if they can maybe have a little bit better success in the middle of the field in coverage, I think you'll see this Bengals team be right there in the mix with the Chiefs and the Bills.
Yeah. What do we do with Stafford here? Obviously, I mean, I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer kind of no matter what with the career numbers he's going to end up putting up. He's going to be like top three basically in everything. So that in of itself probably would have gotten him there just from the longevity and the volume. And now he's got one, so I think, you know, that's obviously not a question. But in terms of like what he is and where you would put him and all that kind of stuff, like, what do you do with Matt Stafford? Like, how do you look at him after, you know, he was very Matt Staffordian, right? Like, he has moments of greatness, he has moments of not so great, and many times sort of overcame things that he may have set up earlier in the game, but at the end of the day, did get it done in dramatic fashion more than once. So, what do you do with Matt Stafford? Where do you kind of put him?
I mean, I'm in the Richard Sherman camp. I mean, look at the body of work. It's just not there. I mean, we're debating Eli Manning forever. And it's very easy to make the Pro Bowl as an alternate. He's made it one time in his career. The only award that he's had is Comeback Player of the Year. He's never finished in MVP voting. He had two interceptions in the Super Bowl, one he threw in the end zone. He tied Trevor Lawrence the year that they won the Super Bowl with 17 interceptions. I mean, this player has been – I've never seen a player be so inflated. Eli Manning, okay, to some degree, that is another story. But I kind of describe him as the outlier because he won two Super Bowls and he's related to Peyton and everybody loves Eli Manning. I think Matthew Stafford is more polarizing than we think. And people are going to recognize, look, it's just not about numbers. Everyone is chucking a ton here. Lions are a bad team. He's racked up a lot of yards. Just yards and touchdowns at some point are not going to be the only factor in this modern era, because everybody's throwing for 30 TDs. That's not as difficult now as it used to be. So people have to weigh, and you have to really think, is Matthew Stafford among the quarterbacks that are now the contemporaries? Do you consider him truly great? And I would say no, and part of it is on the Hall of Fame. They got to decide, where's our line, where we're going to draw it here. We've got, obviously, Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger are going to be there for their bodies of work. Aaron Rodgers is going to be there, but does Matthew Stafford belong there? Then you look at Matt Ryan. You start comparing his numbers. If he didn't run into Tom Brady in a massive comeback in the Super Bowl, we're probably talking about Matt Ryan in the same way. And he won an MVP in this league in 2016. So, I think you just have to be careful, because I think the Hall of Fame, a lot of these arbiters or the guys deciding and gals deciding, I think they just have to be careful, because you're making what was so prestigious and hallowed into something that's very watered down just for some stories to work out. I don't think that's the way it should be if we really want to respect the Hall of Fame the way they were in previous years, and that's for every sport.
Vinny, staying on the topic of the Rams here, of course, you know, the bombshell report with Rodney Harrison before the Super Bowl that, you know, if Donald was considering retirement if they won, you know, today at the Super Bowl, he said, why not run it back? I don't know if that's, you know, kind of what he was doing, talking, if that's really how he feels. And then also with Sean McVay, you know, he keeps saying, we'll see about next year. Just, you know, what's your take on both those guys? Do you think both those guys will be back? Just, you know, what's your opinion surrounding those guys?
Well, I think Aaron Donald, you have to start thinking about it. I mean, he's been around since 2014, and he's playing a very physically demanding position, and he's also putting so much work. You see what he looks like out there in the weight room, and he knows it's a grind. He puts in an extreme amount of work around the year to get to where he is on the field. So that's what you're talking about. And I think sometimes we forget that. In other sports, you just show up and you're there and you're okay and you can keep playing, but you got to keep working at a high level. As you get older, it gets just tougher. So does Aaron Donald want to go through that grind? There's nothing he needs to do. Unlike Matthew Stafford, there's nothing he has to do. He's won three-time Defensive Player of the Year. He's probably the best interior defensive lineman of our generation, disrupting things and just constant accolades and just intimidation and fear. I mean, he's kind of that type of transcendent player that we've seen in the past, as I mentioned, and Lawrence Taylor and Ray Lewis, these guys that just scare you every time they're out on the field. So if he walks away, I think he can, and it'll be fine. I don't think it's that shocking to me after that many years. He's had to deal with the St. Louis and Los Angeles move. It's been a tough career grinding to this point. So I think there's definitely a chance of him retiring. With Sean McVay, I think the natural parallel comes with John Madden just passing and the thoughts of him leaving coaching and seeing what he did. Had even a great career. He's obviously personable. I think he's even more likable in TV than John Gruden would have been when he stepped out after he was the Bucs coach. So I think there's just some parallels there. I think Sean McVay comes down to, does he like his style of coaching? Is he grinding too much? He's about to have a family started here. So does he want to step away? So these are things that are going to come up with more people. I think we just get spoiled with guys like Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger keep on playing over and over again.
Looking at this offseason, how crazy it could be, especially with at least the possibility of Rodgers and Russ and Deshaun being available, maybe even Kyler Murray now with all the drama surrounding him. And there are a number of teams in the league that, you know, Denver, Carolina, Indy, Tampa, Washington, Miami, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, there's plenty that are a really good quarterback away from being pretty good, right? And certainly at least having a fighting chance in some of these cases, maybe more than that. How feverish do you think this all gets? You know, does this kind of get insane? Does Seattle or Green Bay maybe get pushed off a position they have early with how intense maybe some of the offers become? I know Hackett said they're going to go all out to maybe try and get Rodgers out of Green Bay. So how intense will this be? And for a lot of these teams are kind of in the middle that especially a team like Indy or Denver that really could make a move with a quarterback that can play at a high level. How crazy is this going to be? And ultimately, do you think a team can pry a Rodgers or a Russ out of one of those cities where maybe those teams aren't, you know, necessarily intending to move those guys currently?
Well, we at least have one news on Aaron Rodgers' breakup, and this actually can't be ignored here. That could actually affect the way he feels about this. It looks like he's not getting married anymore. So does that change things about wanting to go to California or Colorado? I think there were some odds on the 49ers and Broncos. We know the Broncos have kind of put their feelers out there in hiring Nathaniel Hackett and the tight ends coach Justin Otten to be the offensive coordinator, both hired from the Packers right off Matt LaFleur's staff. So the Broncos have certainly been out there. Then you look at some of the betting odds in the Super Bowl, you look at the Broncos bumped up a little bit, and that is definitely tied to potential for Aaron Rodgers. So I think this personal life thing that happened, part of it is maybe he was more dedicated to the Packers and not as nonchalant, got into them more. And I think that's probably hurt him because he's an intense guy and a bit weird in terms of just focusing so much on football where these other guys are looking for more of that balance. So with Aaron Rodgers, I think you look at maybe this is a sign that, okay, he's going to put everything aside, try to get his buddy Davante Adams to get that lucrative contract extension, go for one more run at least here. Maybe the Packers will finally just succumb and say, we're moving Jordan Love. There's a lot of teams that can use a quarterback and at least explore them, like New Orleans is a good example with losing Sean Payton. Do they just take a little flyer on Jordan Love and the Packers say, okay, we're just going to finish out with Aaron Rodgers. Enough of this drama. He wants to stay here. We want him here. Let's make this work. So I'd say Denver had a shot here, but I would say Denver is more like a 10 to 15% chance where I'm looking at 85 Green Bay and everything else probably slim to none here. So that's how it's playing out for Aaron Rodgers. With Russell Wilson, I know some odds popped up where the Buccaneers were the favorite to land Wilson. So that's interesting in itself because we weren't sure if the Buccaneers would have a similar opening, but we know that they just tapped in that style of decision-making quarterback just 2 years ago where they said, okay, we're going to get Brady, upgrade, see what happens. So obviously, Wilson and Rodgers are paying attention to that situation. Can the same happen to me if I acquire this team and play around it? So it's going to be very interesting. I still think Russ in Seattle is probably most likely scenario. I think it's a little bit more wide open with him now than Rodgers, which is a twist here early in the offseason.
You know, Vinny, one quarterback that we do know that's likely going to be available, or probably, is Jimmy G. You know, just what do you think the market will be for him? Do you think the Niners can get, you know, a first-round pick, a high second-round pick? And, you know, do you think that, you know, with all the uncertainty surrounding the guys that Javier just mentioned, that with him being, you know, maybe the best-known commodity available at quarterback, pushing those other guys aside, is there going to be kind of a race to trade for Jimmy G here?
Well, I think it just depends. I mean, I think you have to figure out soon. You got to get your folks out there to kind of get the feelers on whether Rodgers and Wilson are actually happening. The other thing that's out there on an island here is Deshaun Watson. What's happening with him? Is he going to be cleared? Do you know the Texans want to move him? He doesn't want to be there. So all of a sudden, if that comes to a quicker resolution and if things work out in a positive way, which would be a good thing for everyone involved, Then you'd look at Deshaun Watson. What do we have to do there? Where, you know, this team is ready to part with him and ready to try to get some big picks there. So that's what you have to weigh. So, but then you look at those maybe being pipe dreams and maybe not being in play for a lot of teams. Then you have to go down. The next guy in the veteran market is Garoppolo, because you're not that interested in Jameis Winston or Ryan Fitzpatrick. I've seen people might want to retread with Mitchell Trubisky, but I think I'd rather go Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, he wasn't that far from getting to a second Super Bowl. I think we discount some of that as well, that, look, as much as we like to heap multitude of praise on Matthew Stafford for going on a run, I think we also dump on Jimmy G for being on the brink of two Super Bowls in 3 years. So I think there's a little bit of balance there that you can look at, that he is a complimentary quarterback. He's a system quarterback in the right system, and really every quarterback is a system quarterback to some degree with the help around him. And maybe I'm looking at the Bucs and saying, maybe Tom can say, hey, Jimmy, I like it. These guys are great. Gronk would come back if you were there. He likes playing with you. Why don't you make it happen, and maybe you can win a ring too. So these are types of things that could develop here in the offseason. And I think the Bucs, of all the teams, I think Garoppolo and the Bucs make the most sense, because they're picking late. They're not going to have their pick of first-round quarterbacks at all.
Vinny, what about Deshaun here? Obviously, he's got some legal stuff still pending, but and it's hard to tell. It sounds like there'll be some hearing soon, but I don't know if it's going to be dealt with before the draft, for example, whether or not we're going to have some clarity as to with his status as a human being, much less a football player. But assuming this gets resolved, before camp or maybe well before that, how does this all play out with Deshaun? I imagine if he's free and clear, most teams are going to have no problem bringing him in. And I imagine at that point that it'd be interesting to see who still wanted a quarterback, who still needed one, when this all happens. But you have to throw Deshaun into the mix here, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, again, another thing that might be developing for the Buccaneers. Like, if they feel – I think, keep in mind, Jameis Winston had a lot of things there that he was dealing with, and eventually they got to an okay place with it to keep Winston as the starting quarterback there. I mean, he's had multiple chances here. Watson, the allegations are a little bit different at a higher level, but if he's cleared, he's cleared. That's the bottom line. And you can't just discount that fact. And we've seen it with Ben Roethlisberger. Once he got through all that, he's cleared, he's cleared. The Steelers went with him. So it's either he's in play or he's not coming to the NFL at all. So that's the bottom line with Watson. But you're right, the timing is going to be interesting. How fast do you want to solve your quarterback problem is the deal here. Do you want to wait it out as long as possible? If Jimmy G is the right for you, and there's a reasonable offer on the table, you could go get him. Or you know the Texans are going to be rather demanding in getting Watson return here, just because we know what kind of player he can be. He was the top five, top six quarterback just a couple years ago, and this is a guy on a really bad team where I saw him do everything he can to lift it. So it's a different type of story there, where I think Matthew Stafford probably held the Lions back more than people think, and he got in a good situation with the Rams. So you put Deshaun Watson as a team-lifting quarterback the way Tom Brady is on the Buccaneers, watch out. I mean, that gives you another element, throwing downfield to those wide receivers. Maybe Gronk wants to come back for him. So the Bucs, I think, are going to be the most interesting to see what they do, because I don't think I'd be shocked if the Bucs sit on Kyle Trask, and I think, number two, I'd be shocked if the Steelers sit on Mason Rudolph this season.
Vinny, we always appreciate your time. I just want you to know that I 100% am with you on Stafford. I've enjoyed your trashing of Stafford today. So always enjoy talking to you, my friend.
I just don't want to become a Hall of Very Good, Javier. I want it to be.
I hear you. I'm with. I am 100% with you, my friend. I am 100% with you.
It may have already jumped the shark, but we can do what we can do.
That's right. We fight the good fight. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Vinny.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, buddy.
Have a good one.
See ya. Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News, everybody, at Vinny Iyer on Twitter.
Yeah, that was tough to hear from our good friend
almost
Vinny
as much as I do.
And did you hear his last comment?
Yeah, like how he held Detroit back.
Yeah, like,
it. It was
whoa,
awesome.
That one.
Yeah.
Like what he said,
I love it.
I didn't necessarily disagree with anything he said until that point.
Loved it. Like he took it a step further. It was amazing. Loved it. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back. The 99 Restaurant's new menu is here. Visit the 9s today to try a new favorite like the grilled pork ribeye steak or